Welcome in, Big Bag Morning Show. Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken. Ryan, has this old guy been sitting in here since you got here this morning?
Oh, he was ready to rock and roll, I guess, for...
Freaking $6 million man. He's got a titanium shoulder, an adamantium spine over here.
You got to see it. It's a thing of beauty. I just showed Ryan.
Oh, I've been grabbing my back ever since I saw that photo.
Ed Norris is back. Something. How are you, man?
I'm great. I got cut in half. I'm back early. I don't want to, cause any problems here. So I'm just waiting, as my back muscles suture themselves back together, I'm here.
How are you moving around?
I'm in pain, but low. It's manageable. I'm not taking anything. I'm managing the pain. It's different. You remember how we're just talking about that day at the stadium?
When I took so many milligrams of edibles.
And I had to stop walking.
Yeah.
So then my friend here, the douche nozzle, he goes outside.
I forgot about this.
I can't walk now. I'm in the O's team store, right. And he leaves me. He starts soliciting people outside, telling them I'm in there and I'm signing autographs.
Sure.
If he wants to come and see me, anyone come and see me.
Ed Norris is in there. People are walking in. Ed's like, Ed's here going, ha, 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 ha. He can't move.
So there's no more of that.
Yeah.
I can actually walk now. It's just, it's just got to heal. It's going to take 6 to 12 weeks.
So. Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back, man. No BS. I missed you. It was funny because, Ed and I BS so much off the air and going just back and forth. It's kind of weird not having that because Rob will leave the room every once in a while. And usually it's just Ed and I sitting here BSing about TV shows and everything else.
Well, I was just seeing that right here. I got a preview of it right before we started.
Oh, that was more ball busting. Ed telling me to shut up. He's like, you haven't even gotten the room and you're already talking.
But anyway. Wait, are you having moisture problems in here?
Oh my God.
This damp rit hanging all over the building, over there, over here, over here.
See, you even know what it's called. I'm like, what's that box of.
You know why I know what it's called?
Oh, yeah.
I live in Florida.
Yeah.
And I have the same problem in my house.
You see the IV up there for the room or whatever the hell that thing is?
Oh, yeah. It's another one. Yeah. There's one, two, three, and the big one. That's the industrial strength cancer.
They've been in here the entire time?
Yeah. I think a couple of weeks ago, Rob comes in and he's like, damn. Smells awful in here. And I'm sitting in here by myself and I'm going, I didn't do anything. I'm start smelling my pits and hey, did I? So he was talking about it and I'm going, yeah, it does kind of smell, but it's almost like I don't leave the studio that often. So when I come in here and I sit, it's almost like having cats. You just get used to the smell. But every morning when you walk in, you're like, ugh. And then it just kind of calms down for me. But it is muggy and nasty in here. So
I really regret wearing a hoodie today.
Yeah.
I thought it was the season. It's not long pants season yet, but.
Well, we've had the other thing, I guess the guys at night, would that be Jason and Ken, turn the AC all the way up? Rob is a tropical weather people, as he likes to say, so I think.
So they turn it up or down, you mean?
Down, I'm sorry.
Down.
They turn it down, they make it cold, and then Rob comes in, he's like, it's too cold, and he heats it up, and I'm sitting over here, and I'm like, I'm in a t-shirt and shorts, and Rob's over there putting a hoodie on, and I'm like, I'm sweating my ass
I'm
off
sweating.
Over here.
Yeah, I'm hot.
But, different structures.
What's a comfortable temperature for you?
40. I like it cold. I'm sorry. I'm the shorts and hoodie guy year round. It doesn't bother me. But it's good to have
anyway.
And so what, we always do this opening segment, hey, what'd you do last night? What have you been doing the past 8 weeks?
Well, let's see. Let's recap how this happened.
Yeah.
I was having trouble walking for the last 2 years, as you know, and you've mocked me on the air.
What?
What?
Well, he's going to get the last laugh because the same thing's happening to me.
Yes. So I really did. I had this big product. Couldn't figure it out. I was dealing with epidural shots, and it would temporarily help me. And then the last one, the doctor, she's like, how you feel? I was like, not good. Didn't work. She's like, yeah, I know why. You have cyst on your spine. It's like, ah, you need surgery. So that was bam. Had to go in immediately. I had a big cyst. He said about the size of the tip of my thumb. Press it on eight
you
nerves.
You got a big cyst.
Yeah, big cyst. And it was bad. It was really bad. He cleaned me out L1 to S1 as I had to make room in all those spinal little vertebra and then put a spacer in and took out the cyst. And the good news is no permanent damage. So, because I didn't realize it could have developed drop foot.
So you can still grab your ankles?
Well,
I mean, certain things. You get older, you can't do certain things.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I could ever.
You haven't been
that.
Practicing in a while.
No, it's been a while.
Anyway,
it's been 20 years since prison.
It is good to have him back. Is this your first chance? Ryan, is this your first chance in studio with Ed?
Yeah. This is a delight. I'm learning a lot, but still, that photo is nasty, gnarly. I'm sorry, Ed, you're dealing with that. But I mean, hey, I'm learning a lot from you guys. This has been a really good experience. I mean, yeah. Jeremy, I thought I saw one side of you. Now I'm seeing another. Now I'm hearing more. Now Ed joins in there.
Yeah.
And don't forget about you, Joe, either.
Yeah, like Joe, look, is he smiling again? Who the hell is this? He was smiling. I think he's in love with Ryan Ripken. He was smiling yesterday. He's smiling today. You were smooching with my brother. No, sorry.
What?
It's like the old Home Alone thing, getting back to it. But it is kind of cool, though, to finally get a chance to have Ed back in studio. And, Ryan, you'll get to see I've said this before. I don't care who's at the station. When people are telling stories, the stories he can tell off the air, really good. It's pretty good.
Oh, I'm going to tell one for him today because we don't get guests much. Now we get company. Oh, we don't get Ryan here much. You got to see him in the hallways. But
I love storytelling. Yeah. This is how I learn. People helping people, Ed.
Yeah. Well, here, let me grab a quick call on this first segment because I like the headline here. And Ryan, you can talk about this a little bit. Chris in Parkville, the sky is falling for the Orioles. Chris, how are you?
Gentlemen.
What's happening?
Happy Thursday, Ed. Welcome back.
Thank you, man.
And Ryan, I think this is the first time I've been on there with you. Awesome perspective and everything.
I appreciate that.
Throughout this year, especially when the Orioles kind of fell off a little bit and everything, people would call in and I would say, the sky is not falling. The sky is not falling. At this point, timing-wise, if you could convince me the sky is not falling, I would appreciate your perspective. Anything Ed or Jeremy could do the same, but man, I think.
Well, that's going to lead us, Chris, that's going to lead us into our next segment and some of the stuff we're going to talk about. But as far as the sky is falling, the only thing I'd say from a positive standpoint is I would wait to see what they look like when they get a little healthier. Sometimes it's
time on their side, though.
No, it's not.
So,
I mean,
so like, I think the talk we had yesterday was if Grayson comes back, maybe he's in the bullpen if he doesn't get stretched out enough. But it does sound like you're going to get some arms back for the bullpen. Kalum got pulled from the last in AAA, went through, I think he got two outs or whatever it was, and or maybe it was an inning and he got pulled and everybody's like, and then Rock tweets, I was like, no, they were planning to do this. He's okay. He's on his way back. So it wouldn't shock me to see him get on the roster today or tomorrow, depending on how they want to work it.
Well, I think the other part too, pitching wise, I mean, overall, I think the Orioles have pitched well. I know we'll talk about it. Last night was, there's a lot of things didn't go well last night, but I think it's the Jordan Westberg, Ramon Urias starting their rehab and those guys getting back because, you know, the offense needs some sort of spark. And who was the spark plug for this team? It was Jordan Westberg.
Yeah. And the other part of this, too, is like, so again, I'm not sitting here telling people don't be worried. Everything's going to be fine. You are going to be in the postseason. I don't care what any of these cats say. The 99% chance of making the postseason.
Yeah, there's a couple games left.
They lose every game, and all of a sudden next week I'm going, I don't know what I was talking about. No, but they're going to make the playoffs. It's just a matter of who you face, where you face them. I'm more interested to see what they look like against the Yankees in this last series they have against them because the Yankees are finding ways to win now, and the Orioles are finding ways to lose.
Yeah. But you got the Ravens. Oh.
So, Ed, welcome back, man.
Welcome back.
So great to have you.
Great timing.
Speaking of that, we're
in Florida's happy. The Bucks are 2-0.
The Dolphins, they're still looking for their quarterback. Jeez, that poor guy.
Gave himself a concussion.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. A lot of Oriole talk in this first hour. Coming up at 6:30, we'll get back into Craig Kimbrell being DFA'd and did it take too long and all that. But we got to talk about what happened yesterday. Orioles, Giants, Kramer kind of falling apart right after the Orioles take the lead. Just kind of a frustrating situation there. Plus, the play at home plate could have changed a lot of things. And oh, by the way, the bats still look like they're sleeping. So we'll talk about that. We break down the Orioles and Giants. That's coming up next here on the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
The Big Bad Update from the Yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with Gainswave Therapy at LifeMed Institute. Gainswave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more. On 105.7 The Fan.
I thought the encouraging thing with tonight's game a little bit is that I thought our bats were better. I thought we created more traffic, how we walked. Now we're just waiting for some breaks offensively and a chopper to get through and something off the label to fall in the outfield grass.
There you go. That's Brandon Hyde talking about last night. And you kind of felt What's the right word, Ryan? You kind of felt good early about getting that lead, and Kramer looked really good outside of the leadoff homer. And look, stuff like that happens. Yastrzemski in back-to-back games. Thanks a lot, guys, for getting rid of me as he leads off the game with home runs. But it looked like he settled down, and it was just that one inning, right, where he just kind of fell apart.
Well, there's a few things. One, it felt like when you had the lead, there was the excitement, and not even that the lead lasted innings. It lasted minutes, you know, because you had the lead, next inning, everything happens. And when things are just falling apart or not going your way, you don't get any breaks. In this case, then James McCann, it's a blunder, not having his foot on home plate. That's
Are we still talking about the Orioles? You're talking about Ed's life.
Well,
yes.
Could be both.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Ed.
I'm not. Go ahead. Sorry,
man. You gotta tell him everything.
No, I'm not.
Get it all out.
Hey, you got time by the end of the show.
I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. But in all seriousness, with the birds, you don't get breaks your way when you're not playing well. And the break I'm talking about later is Heston gets drilled, and a ball that if it misses his foot, it's going to the backstop, and you're scoring a run. Instead, he gets the first base, and then next guy, of course, gets out. Just felt like one thing after another. The one thing I would like to see more if you're having trouble scoring, and maybe I'm just an old school guy on this. Maybe you guys can have an opinion. First and second, no outs, Seti's up, right? And Seti's probably swinging the bat just as good as some other guys on the squad right now. I wouldn't have minded seeing Seti lay down a bunt and get the second and third, maybe one out. He's got some speed, make things happen. Instead, nothing happens. Seti strikes out, and then it's just a snowball, right? It just I hear what Hyde's saying, and there was moments, but then once again, you found a different way. And by the way, the guy that Yaz got traded for, Mike Yastrzemski, he was my teammate in the minors. Like the guy. But when the move happened, all of us were sitting there going, damn, Mike's going to go over there, and he's just going to start raking. And it's a thing, dude. Look, when he plays Baltimore, he remembers. Yeah. And it's no hard feelings, but it's kind of hard feelings.
Isn't there a handful of guys? Like, so Christian Walker's another one they kind of just passed on or let walk. And again, like some of those guys, they were older prospects to a degree, maybe they're thinking about going in a different direction. But I'm one of those guys, too, and I don't know if you feel this way, Ed. Like, when a guy leaves my team, I don't hate him all of a sudden, you know, if he's spent time on the team. I'm not rooting for him to get hits or score touchdowns against my team or anything, but it's nice to see him do well. You know, Christian Walker was here. Like, we could point out.
Anybody want Trey Mancini to fail when he left?
No. We were happy he won a World Series, you know? It was nice to see him back in the yard. But have you been trying to keep up with the Orioles? I know you've been in Florida and you've been recovering. You obviously can see everything that's going on, but did you kind of feel like the sky was falling here for a while?
Only because of social media and all the stuff on Twitter or X, whatever. Because it seems like the fan base, and actually it's a lot of writers were talking about it, and national writers were saying, you know, you can't, you know, have an implosion without an O, and, you know, collapse without an O, and all these different articles. It's like, damn, like, this is what people feel nationally. It's like, this isn't angry fans. These were baseball writers. It's like, maybe something's going on up there. But I mean, you still look at their record. You know, some predicted they're going to end the season 5 games out of first. They might. That's right where they are now.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
Well, the thing is, like, as long as you're holding serve and kind of, I mean, obviously you're scoreboard watching as you're ahead.
Yeah.
Which is such a weird thing, because if you do what you're supposed to do, you know, you're going to, like, Ryan and I were talking about it. For them to miss the playoffs, like, some ridiculous things have to happen. Now, those things could happen. There's such a small percentage of a chance, but we've all seen this in sports nowadays where they're like, you've got a 99.9% chance of winning this game. Turnover. You have a 3% chance of winning this game. Like, it happens
just
quickly.
Like that.
Yeah, but this is a little bit different because you're hoping that you have a stopper. And today's one of those key days where we've talked about how good Zach Eflin's been. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball since the trade to the Orioles. And now he's going up against Logan Webb. And this is what you and I talked about with the series starting. You get Blake Snell, who's just downright filthy. You get a youngster in the middle where you kind of felt like that was a must-win game, even though I don't like calling it must-win. Like, take that one, because it's scary when you got Logan Webb coming in. And if he's on, good luck. Just good luck. He's that good. And I'm not saying he's going to come out today and just be on in this afternoon game and shut him down. But he clearly can get those ground balls and go deep into games.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people look at, you're right, Birdsong yesterday, that was the matchup that you wanted. And actually, if you look back earlier in the game, Gunner was up with runners in scoring position
struck out
on 3-2 pitch. Good pitch by Birdsong. But again, you have your guy you won up. And I know Gunner's had his struggles with runners in scoring position, but he's one of your guys you won up. Seti then hits a ground ball, gets the run in, and you like the do your job approach, but it limits the inning, right? So now you're facing Logan Webb, one of their best guys, once again. And the Orioles, when they were feeling good and they were feeling frisky, it didn't matter who was on the mound. I mean, they lit up Zach Wheeler early in the season. We were talking about they could handle the best pitchers. But when you got little confidence to come through, you got to try to take advantage of those moments. And that's the really hard thing for this Orioles team. There's positives. But one thing I wanted to mention, Jeremy, that you said, the Orioles got 10 games left. Right, they have a 4.5 game cushion on Detroit, who comes to town next. That's a big series, but yeah, you're right. Like, and maybe I'll say this for a different time. I don't think people know how bad the Twins are reeling too.
Yeah,
Twins are 9-16 in their last 25. Tigers are the best team in the American League since August. So, just perspective.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Let's grab some calls here because there's a bunch we want to talk about. Let's bring in Benjamin and Woodlawn. Benjamin, you're on the Fan.
Hey, first and foremost, I think we need to take that 10-year anniversary back from James McCain. That is no way in the world you not know. It's not like you're protecting the ball from...
Well, not of his foot on the plate, you mean?
Yes, his foot on the plate. There's no way in the world he shouldn't have made... do not know that it was, he's not even close to the plate. We needed it out. And going back to what Ryan said, the first game of the series, they did try that with Cedric Mullin. And he mucked on two bunts. It's like he don't even know how to bunt anymore either. So the real thing that I'm worried about is I know we lost so many different players, but the main continuity, Urias, Mateo, Mountcastle, they, even when they were having bad days, we can count on their defense. And I think they are the main pieces that we're missing right now more than anything.
And appreciate the phone call, Benjamin. I'll throw it back to you, Ryan. Something that we were discussing, Ed, about this team. Like, you're going to get healthier depending on how these guys come back. I don't know if they're going to be just fine. You know, Mountcastle and the rehab assignment. Ramon's close. We've talked about Westberg and all the things. Those are all three right-handed bats, and we've talked about their struggles against left-handed pitching. It allows you to put Ryan O'Hearn back in that platoon role where he's just facing right-handed pitching. It allows you to better your defense because, with all due respect to Rivera and some of the other guys that we've had coming up and throwing out there, they're just not good defensively, or they're not where they should be.
So you value defense, Jeremy? Is what you're telling me?
I mean, look, it's an important thing.
I had people telling me right now when the pitching's not going well or the hitting, oh, we're defense. It doesn't matter, and it's erroneous. I'm glad you brought up Jorge Mateo. By the way, Jorge Mateo is a guy arguably the best defender that they had. Brings a lot of energy. And we're talking about that can really make things happen on the base paths, in the field if he's not hidden. And it's ironic, a lot of people didn't want Jorge Mateo on this team this year, right? People bring different values.
Other than me.
Hold on. I'll say this.
Oh, hey now.
No. The thing with Jorge Mateo is I think people overvalued him so much.
I agree with
and
that.
And he's like, the issue that I have with him, it's kind of like what I talked about with Suarez, is there's some serious inconsistencies in his game. When he gets hot, he might be the hottest player in baseball. Mm-hmm. But when he gets cold, you're like, damn, man, can he steal first base?
It was the expectation of what his role should be. This year, he fit the role
perfectly.
Of exactly what he was, not being a star of the team like everyone thought
about
last year.
But thanks for biting.
Oh, no, I was in the same boat. Rob and I were in the same boat.
We both
agreed on it. I'm so, like, I could throw him under the bus, but I felt the same way. I mean, look, but it's okay. Like, the problem I have is it's okay to be wrong sometimes and just admit it, where people just want to,
it's all good.
I'm listening to Cheryl Swoops double down, triple down, quadruple down, talking about Caitlin Clark's not a dominant player, and then everyone keeps calling her on it. It's like, just shut up. Just stop. Anyway, something else we can get to later. We have more Orioles we're going to talk about. Trippy, hang on. We'll get to you in the next segment. I want to talk about Craig Kimbrell being DFA'd. Did you see this is one of the few personnel decisions that Elias had made that went wrong? There's some people that point out other ones. We're going to talk about that next right here on The Fan. All right. There's been celebrating in the streets. I mean, he was a nice guy. Birds DFA Craig Kimbrell. Ed, while you were out, everybody was screaming about it. Like, oh, you got to get rid of this guy. And then all of a sudden, Cole Irvin gets DFA'd and the Twins pick him up. And people are like, why didn't you DFA Craig Kimbrell? Now it's happened. Mm-hmm. We all didn't think he was going to be on the playoff roster. What are your thoughts? Is this Was this a colossal screw up by Elias by signing this guy?
No. I mean, they don't all work out. I mean, look, you lose the best closer in baseball to an injury, so you don't have Batista. You have to find somebody, or you want to find somebody, because I believe in having a real closer as in that spot. I don't like it by committee and all that. So you have a guy who's proven over a long period of time. He's a player of experience. They bring him in, despite his little weird bird stance, whatever.
Come on, Bird, throw the ball.
I don't know if it's an injury or what. He didn't have it. And, you know, at the end of the year, you see he's not going to make the playoff roster. He's been DFA'd. I hate saying it. Like, people are like, oh, you really blew that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Well, and to that point, though, like, so I wasn't big on the Craig Kimbrel signing in the beginning. Yeah. I said, oh, look, I'm going to root for the guy, obviously, but I saw him last year in Philly, and I just thought we'd see something not this bad, but similar to it. And for the people, and Ryan, I'll throw this at you, for the people that that are sitting here talking about, why didn't you do something at the trade deadline? Well, one closer was traded at the trade deadline, right? Or was there two?
Estevez from the Angels. That was the guy. Estevez went to the Phillies.
Yeah.
And that dude's good. But again, you give up a lot. I think that's your point you're trying to make.
Yeah, but so like it's a big deal. The Tanner Scott thing, like, it's not fair to compare the Padres farm system to the Orioles. So I'm going to take the big three out of it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Take the big three out of it. We talked about Mayo, Basayo, Holiday. If you wanted to get Tanner Scott, you would have had to give up somewhere with the equivalent of Enrique Bradfield Jr. and Dylan Beavers.
It was like Mason Miller, too.
Yeah, I mean, those are like you're giving.
People who went to him, yeah, you're going to have to give up to get him, though. He's young.
And it's a rental for Tanner Scott. I mean, the Padres gave up their number two and three prospects in their farm system for a rental. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I get it. Like, people want to sell out for the World Series like it guarantees it. Like, all the people that said, if you had traded for Scooble, you're definitely winning the World Series. Well, if they had traded for Scooble, they still wouldn't be hitting right now. They're not hitting. That's the biggest issue.
Yeah, for a guy like the Eloy Jimenez right now, he's had his ups and downs, but that deal didn't cost anything for him, right? So it was, hey, we're absorb that contract. We'll give you some money. It's not always going to work out. The other arm that was available, Finnegan with the Nats was one, but
he didn't get traded.
He didn't get traded because the Nats are going, hey, give us a deal that forces us to make this move. And for Elias, he's never been that way. You can say all you want, he's going to look at value. Does it make sense value-wise? And if it doesn't, he's going to say, it's not worth it. You know, did we all want to see them get another high-leverage guy? Yes. Is the reason why they held on to Craig Kimbrel because they don't have enough high-leverage guys? And even though Craig was struggling, he did show you this year for a good 2.5 months that, hey, he still had it.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone now.
Well, people said he should have been in the All-Star game.
And his number-wise, yeah. He should have been, yeah. Right? So I think that's just the point.
Well, that's my point. When I was sticking up for him, I was like, you know he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But he just, as the season went on, it just didn't happen.
Yeah, and I felt like the Orioles, too, had some, they could tread water there and try to see if he gets it back. Because we've seen this before where a guy just kind of loses it and then catches fire again. This late in his career, I didn't expect it, to be honest. But I don't fault him for anything. And like for the people that are sitting here saying, I can't believe they signed him. You guys weren't saying that. People love that signing because it's like, oh my God, it's perfect. Because you have Batista coming back. Mm-hmm. You have this guy as a stopgap. And when Batista comes back, everything will be perfect. And then we get to this point, and it's like, ugh. And then Kalum gets hurt. And then, you know, Webb gets hurt. And then you're wondering, okay, can Cano close out games? Oh, we traded for Soto and Sir Anthony Dominguez. And Soto's the first guy you think about because he's done it before. And he doesn't look good when he gets here. You're kicking the tires on these guys, even Fuji. And I know you and I were in the same boat with him last year. Or what was it, 2 years ago? When they make the move for him, like, he had great stuff. It just didn't work out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes you're pushing buttons to see, like, when Elias traded for Cano in that deal and he gets rid of Lopez, he was destroyed across. How can a team in contention trade their closer, even though their setup guy was better than their closer, and go out and make moves for these minor league pitchers? And all of a sudden next year, Yennier Cano, people are talking about him for rookie of the year because he's not giving up a run. You know, it's just, it's crazy. I think some of these moves, like, fans get caught up in it looking at the names, and sometimes you know the names, and it's like, oh, I can't believe we got rid of that guy, or I can't believe we didn't trade for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest part right there. There's just no guarantee in this game at all. And last thing I'll say with Craig Kimbrel, for everyone out there of saying, I don't feel bad for a guy that's getting $13 million, hey, you shouldn't. A guy's getting paid, all of us, I think it's fair to say, if we're getting paid $13 million, it stings a little bit less. But one thing about Craig is what hurts me for him is that he doesn't care about the accolades. He has a chance to be a Hall of Famer. He doesn't care that he got that $13 million. Well, He cares, but not for this reason. It genuinely hurt him knowing that he wasn't doing his job for the team. Mm-hmm. Everyone can tell you that. He feels responsible. He doesn't want to take the glory when he deserves it, and he will take all the blame when it's not going right. He answers the bell. And I think I hate that for a guy that truly wanted to help this team, and unfortunately for him and the fan base, there's a lot of disappointment.
Yeah, I'm disappointed because I don't get to tell Craig Kimbrell that my wife thinks he looks ridiculous when he pitches. My wife watched him with the Phillies, and she was like, what is he doing? And I'm trying to explain baseball to her. I was like, oh, that's his stance. That looks absurd. He looks ridiculous. Does he know that? And I'm like, I'll try to tell him, sweetheart. I'll let him know. Yeah. Let's grab Trippy in Baltimore. Hello, Trippy.
Hey, hello. What's going on, man? What's up with the Orioles, Ryan, man?
Ryan. Trippy, what's going on? What you got?
We might get swept today. Then mm-hmm. we got the Tigers. They on a run. Then we got the Yankees. Then we got the Twins. Hey, man, it's looking bad for us right now. All I
want
is a playoff game at Camden Yards.
What the hell? Who's on the line?
Hey, listen. Welcome back, Ed. First of all, man. Trippy's so rude, man.
Thank you, man.
Three-way prison call? What the hell? Are you guys in the same room or on a three-way?
Nah, man. You know, we got a little three-way going on, man. We're discussing we were debating about this Cowboys and Ravens game. I'm trying to get Trippy to come, right? But he waited too long to book the flights. The flight's high, so he think about driving down there.
Hello? Yeah, I mean, you can't drive down there.
Drive?
Yeah. Hey, he's just trying to get that social security check from the lady.
Maybe I can drive down there. I can listen to the Punchline podcast the whole ride down there.
Oh, there you go.
Shout out to Marlene and Jack. Hello?
Hello.
Hey, why don't you guys, once we hang up with you, why don't you get Dustin and you guys have that three-way call together, all right?
Go Orioles and
go Ravens.
Hey, Jeremy, I was telling Rashawn, regardless of the situation, he's still going to leave with a win Sunday, right?
Yeah, he's just going to flip whichever jersey the team that wins, that's what he's walking out wearing. Now, let me ask you, Trippy, did you get acknowledged by Antonio Brown?
Oh yeah, I did. That wasn't a good look.
Oh yeah. Anyway, all right, we'll have to talk about that on another day. But we got to run, guys. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know if you know this. Trippy was yelling at like Marlon Humphrey and AB does this thing where it's like either N word of the day or I can't even say the other word. You can just go to his page and look at it. F word of the days. He's talking about.
I know who he is.
Okay. Yeah. And then Trippy gets it. And somebody, I don't know who was telling me. Somebody here said it. And I went, he did? I couldn't wait to ask him when he got on the air. But yeah, apparently it happened. Trippy went viral again with AB. All right. We've got some more stuff we're going to get to coming up at 7 o'clock. What's trending? We'll talk about Woj retiring and taking the St. Bonaventure job. I wonder what his Twitter handle is going to look like now. Everybody's going to unfollow because they don't care about St. Bonaventure. But up next, Hyde talked about the possibility of a team meeting when asked about the team's struggles. If you're Hyde, are you calling that meeting? What needs to happen? We'll find out from Ryan behind closed doors what goes on when the team's struggling. Are we pulling names out of a hat to see what the batting order is going to be? Are we flipping coins? What happens in those situations?
Well, what am I allowed to say on here?
Well, we're going to talk about it next. I'll tell you in the break what you can and can't say. It's coming up right here on 105.7 The Fan. Have we had a bomb dropped on us, Joe? Welcome back. Big Bad Morning Show. Jeremy Kind, Ed Norris, Ryan Ripken with us today. Rob Long is off yet? Oof. Anyway, we got some things to talk about here, and I was kind of throwing this to Ryan before we left in the commercial break. You know, with the possibility of team meetings and how these things go behind closed doors, and I don't know how much you can talk about, Ryan, to this. I know you talked about having Papelbon on your show, if that's something you want to talk about. If not, no worries. But, like, behind closed doors when they have these meetings, I'm sure you've been in a couple of them. How do they go?
Well, it depends, honestly, on the situation or what the type of meeting is. You know, one that's it's funny looking back on, wasn't funny at the time, but we're in the minor leagues, right? And we had lost 17 to 21 games, right? Not good. And we actually started off winning our first seven. You know, we were in first place, and then we just fell off. And we're playing, and we're getting beat pretty badly, and our manager after the game just all of a sudden just comes in. And this is for guys trying to make a living, right? This isn't the big leagues. You're trying to survive. He goes, hey, you guys keep playing like this, you're going to be selling insurance down to Pelican Bay. because we'll find someone else to replace you right now. So you have some of those moments.
Yeah.
In the big leagues, it's a little bit different because you can't say, hey, we're going to find someone to replace you because these are some of the best players in the world despite the struggles, right? But it depends on what the what it needs to be. Sometimes you need to find a way to just break up the negativity. Some ways you need to get a, you know, light a fire, and maybe that's where you got to see. I don't know what Hyde said, but it depends on what it is. And if Hyde's going in there trying to ruffle it, that's one thing. Yeah, some things I can't say on air, Jeremy. I think I didn't ask you, but I'm pretty sure what I can involves a bag of peanuts and trying different situations and rituals, but.
I need to be there for that.
Yeah, you would love that. You would fit right in. But
why does this feel like in the office when Kevin was telling Oscar he'd love jail? Oh, you'd love prison.
Yeah,
you'd love it. Why? Why would I love it? Anyway, go ahead.
It fits. But it really is. That's the type of message. I know a lot of people. What I'm hearing is they don't think Hyde has fire. You know, he's not lighting a fire. And I think that to me is so wrong to say because you're not in the locker room. I know, and I've seen and heard stories of Hyde lighting guys up.
Also, absolutely. Going after opposing teams for the stuff with the Blue Jays. I mean, you can look at it. He's stood up for his guys. I don't know where this narrative started that were people saying he doesn't stand up for his guys.
Yeah, I don't know either. Maybe just because he has a certain demeanor on the bench. But point being, you got to figure out what can work. Personally, for me, I think it's one way to try to keep it light. Trying to say, hey, light a fire at this point. You know what you're fighting for. I think it's more of, how do you try to just get that gloominess out? Because mindset is everything, and the Orioles' mindset right now just seems...
And how do you prevent these team meetings become bitching sessions? Like, just, you know, because obviously some people aren't playing well, others are, nobody's happy, I'm not getting enough playing time. You don't want it to devolve into that, because it's not productive. So it's like, I've always wondered how these go. Because, you know, whatever sport it is, you know, when the Ravens had that one with the big names like Ed Reed and company were going after the coaching staff. Yeah, I don't know how productive they are.
Well, you know, and I think sometimes it's just you're looking for that shot in the arm. You're looking for, people talk about baseball, momentum is next day starting pitcher. I agree with that. This is a little different. Like, you just need to see something go right. It's like being in one of those hitting slumps, and we were just talking about it. You hit a line drive, you hit the ball hard somewhere, and then all of a sudden somebody makes a great play. And then you're watching some other guy that hits a little dribbler down the line, and he's on first. You're like, the hell, man, I hit that thing 110 miles an hour off the bat. It just went right at somebody. It always feels that way. And again, I still feel like the shot in the arm for this team can be just getting healthy, depending on what they get back, because you are going to remove some guys that you're not going to have in your lineup as everyday players, right? Because Westberg's an everyday player. Ramon, depending on what Jackson's doing, he might become an everyday player, and Westberg might go back to second base or however they want to work it. And maybe we see it situationally lefty-righty as well.
Can I ask you guys this then? Because I think it's just curious. You know, how do you guys react? If someone was going to call a meeting or they're trying to inspire you or try to get you on the right thing, do you guys handle getting lit up and someone just reaming you out? Like, well, what specifically for you is...
I think he's probably better to answer this because obviously my viewpoint's going to be different, but you were in, like, being a police officer and being in charge of people. You had to do that from time to time.
Yeah. And I mean, I've obviously went from the bottom all the way up to the top. So, I mean, I've been to every level of management. I never, and I mean this, I really never mind if it's fair. Because, you know, we all know when we're either not doing our best, being a little lazy, or you're not playing well, you're not doing it. But when it's just, you know, people just saying things to cover their own ass and accuse you of things that aren't true, you know, or one of the things that really pisses me off the most, I think, is when you get that, you know, you have a bad actor over here and all you guys aren't, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
That's not true. I'm busting my ass. If you're going to call somebody out, call somebody out. Don't do that. And then, because then they lose faith in you as a leader. And then I'm done. And that's what happens. And once you do that, if you can't confront somebody, honestly, who's not, I mean, that's why I like Freddie Gonzalez so much.
Mm-hmm.
Who did he pull? When the Wizards with the Marlins, guy was dogging at the first. He yanked him right out of the game.
You're not going way back to Hanley Ramirez.
Hanley Ramirez. Yeah, absolutely. Positively. Absolutely. And when I met Freddie the first time, I said, I just want to shake your hand, man, because not everybody has enough balls to do that, and that's made a big... That, to me, if I was on that team, I'd be like, yeah, why do I have to run out everything? And he doesn't?
Yeah.
Because he's got more God-given talent than me? No. Well, we all got to play the
same. He has a chain that had 342 on it because he hit 342 and won the batting title that year, right? He had the gold chain.
Look, I mean, that stuff, though, you get my point.
Yeah.
And like, then the whole, because everybody's watching Ramirez saying, what's he going to do? What's he going to do? Well, he did it.
You know, it's weird for me because, like, I've always, even when I played, I liked the coaches that would just beat us up. That were like, if I was going to get go play for a coach, the type of coach I'd want to play for would be Bobby Knight.
Yeah.
Which I know most people, that's probably not their cup of tea, but like, I get that reinforcement. I feel that. And maybe it's from like how you grew up, how your parents were with you, those types of things. But I've even said here when we go in the office, like, I like constructive criticism. If you hear something I'm doing that like, let's say you have a crutch word and you keep saying, you know, or obviously or something, like, I'd like to hear that so I can listen to it and kind of correct it. But the other part of it is that I agree with Ed. Like, you can't get upset when I come back at you and disagree with something you're saying, as long as we're having a conversation about it. So that's kind of where I'm at. Like, if you're going to point people out, but it can't be the one guy in the room pointing everyone else out and never having a finger pointed at him.
Right, and I think that's why I wanted to ask, is there's different ways that people handle criticism or handle, you know, moments and other things, those people that are taking it. How do you consider to still have control? You're just saying if you make a point and then you question the leadership because you're like, hey, you're saying all of us. No, that's a load of crap. We know who's the one
Absolutely
or two people doing
do.
That. And that's a great point. And I think that's what a manager, and if you're talking about with Hyde, you got to figure out which person reacts to what and how do you keep that line where you have the complete respect and control of the guys. I don't think Hyde's lost that, but that's what happens in meetings. Buck Showalter told me a funny story one time. He said, hey, came in there, didn't say anything. They got their butts kicked, and he goes, hey, sorry, guys. My bad. I'll get you guys more prepared. It's on me. And everyone looked up going, what do you mean? And he goes, well, no, it's my bad. Clearly, the checks haven't been sent to you guys, so you guys aren't getting paid. It makes sense. I'm sorry. I will take care of that. That's on me. And then walked out the door.
Oh, that's exactly what I used to do.
That's so maybe you should be in that role then, Ed.
What about, at one point, I have this tape from National Public Radio when I had the cold case squad in New York, and I created the first cold case squad in New York City. In the NYPD. And we were going after the worst people in the world. I mean, murderers hadn't been caught and stuff. And I'd walk around and had my best friends work in this room. And I'd walk over to my friend Jonathan, who's an outstanding detective. He's the guy that said was the fastest white guy I ever saw.
Yeah.
Jonathan's a guy from the projects, great cop. And I walk over and say, look, I know we're friends, and I'm only saying this because I need to know. Are you ever going to catch anybody again? And I'm not mad at you. I just need to know. Are you ever going to catch anybody ever again? Because I need to make adjustments here.
Was he pissed?
Oh, he wanted to stab me in the eye with a pencil. But,
yeah. It needed to be said.
He had, yeah.
It needed to be said. I think you did it in the right way, though. But yeah. We got to step out.
He's reading it. I go, Is he playing for the Jets now? I didn't realize. Is that him? Is that who we're looking for? He's reading the paper.
He's in the sports section. Yes. Oh, Mickey Mantle did it, huh? Hey, you weren't back that long ago, right? You weren't policing then.
I said the Jets.
Oh, sorry. All right, we're going to talk some Ravens next hour. The world is stupid. Welcome back, Ed. We'll have some fun there. And coming up next, we're going to talk about Woj. That's right. Adrian Wojnarowski is stepping down from ESPN and I guess breaking all these stories with Woj bombs and going to St. Bonaventure. We'll talk about that and kind of get into it and take some of your phone calls. 410-583-1057.